Thank you, Eric. Eric is wearing several hats this morning. I really appreciate that. He's taking care of the PowerPoint for worship and setting up for the message. He's also treasurer. Eric has a lot of work to do, and want to acknowledge that and thank him for it. Okay, so this morning, the title of the message is Knowing the Nature of God. Knowing the Nature of God. In different messages, we have discussed the question of how well do we know the Lord? We may know Him to a certain extent, but we can always go deeper in our knowledge and understanding of Him. We may know God to a certain degree, but do we know His nature? The Bible gives some wonderful examples of certain people whose record shows that they knew the nature of God. Do we know the Lord well enough that we can say we know the nature of God? Knowing His nature would strengthen our faith and help us through difficult times. Knowing the nature of the Lord will also bring happiness, joy, and contentment to our lives. So what about some of these people who knew the nature of God? What about Moses? Viewing certain events in the life of Moses, we can see that he knew the nature of God. Moses saw the awesome power of God as he viewed the 10 plagues that the Lord sent on the Egyptians. He also saw the power of the Lord as he saw him make a path through the Red Sea, or as Mount Sinai shook violently in the presence of the Almighty. Moses had an awesome closeness with God as the 10 Commandments were given on Mount Sinai. He spoke mouth to mouth with him. For 40 years, he saw the hand of the Lord take the Israelites through the wilderness. Moses also had the cleft of the rock experience. The Lord said, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and I will pass by, and my back part you will see, but my face you cannot see, because no one can see me and live, and see my face and live, the brightness of his glory. And at the end of his life, Moses was able to say, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. That's Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. He knew the nature of God and that He is a refuge, a shelter, a wall of protection in times of trials and difficulties. His eternally strong arms will hold us up during the most difficult times of our life. And we go through them, and maybe we're going through them now. The eternally strong arms of God will hold you up. They will keep us from falling. They will never fail. What about King David? King David knew the nature of God. Quite a bit to say about King David. King David spent much time in communion with the Lord, as evidenced in the book of Psalms and a study of his life. He knew the nature of God. David knew that a stone and a slingshot could kill a 9-foot-9-inch giant with the power of God behind the stone. Listen to what he said in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with the sword and with the spear and the javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole earth, the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." David knew the nature of God. Many verses in the book of Psalms show that David knew the nature of God. Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4. "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" David knew the nature of God. I'm going to read Psalm 27 and verses 1 to 5. You can follow me if you want. Psalm 27 and verses 1 to 5. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." Psalm 46, verses 1 to 3. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." And then we get to Psalm 103. You want to see how David knew the nature of God? I'm going to be jumping around over here, but I'm going to read verses 1 to 5. Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities." Knowing the nature of God, check that one out. "Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Verses 8 to 14. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." The nature of God. "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Verses 17 and 18. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. And we also have, I'm going to read to you, Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4. Check out the nature of God in this. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. How did David get to know the nature of God? He spent much time with him. Psalm 139, verse 18. David said, when I awake, I'm still with you. He spent much time with the Lord. And as we know, if David said, when I awake, I'm still with you, that means when he fell asleep, he was in communion with the Lord. And then, believe it or not, knowing the nature of God, there's the prophet Jonah. Maybe you wouldn't expect him to be in there. There's the prophet Jonah. We know that Jonah was commanded by the Lord to go to Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria. The city was very wicked, and Jonah was informed that the residents that in 40 days they would be destroyed. He was to inform the residents of Nineveh, very wicked city, that in 40 days Nineveh would be destroyed. And as we know, Jonah, not wanting to deliver the message, got on the ship to go to Tarshish. Instead, Tarshish was believed to be along the coast of Spain. We know the events that followed. Jonah was swallowed by a great fish for 3 days and three nights. After being released by the fish, he gave the message of judgment to the city of Nineveh. The residents of Nineveh repented, and the Lord did not destroy the city, as we know. Now I'm going to turn, you could if you want, to the book of Jonah, chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, and we're going to see how Jonah knew the nature of God. It's in what's called the Minor Prophets, although their prophecies were not minor. It's just before the book of Micah, the book of Jonah. I'll give a moment to get there. Jonah chapter 4, in verses 1 and 2, we're going to see how Jonah knew the nature of God. But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. As we said before, God did not destroy Nineveh, because they repented. And here it starts, but it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. So Jonah is remembered for going against the will of God, but we want to acknowledge that he knew the nature of God. He knew that the Lord would forgive the residents of Nineveh if they repented, they did repent, and God didn't destroy Nineveh. So Jonah looked towards Nineveh, and he was angry, because God did not destroy. I have to admit, Jonah was very open about himself. Who else would write about their faults? But he looked towards Nineveh, and he was angry. He thought the Lord didn't destroy. He may have felt that he would be viewed as a false prophet, since God spared Nineveh after they repented. Maybe this is why he was angry. Despite his disobedience, Jonah knew the loving, gracious, forgiving nature of God. How do we know that? As it says in verse 2, "For I know that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity." Jonah knew the nature of God. And then we have Abraham. This one is beautiful. We have a beautiful example of knowing the nature of God in the patriarch Abraham. Genesis chapter 18 and verses 22 to 26. Genesis chapter 18 and verses 22 to 26. "Then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham was still standing before the Lord. Abraham came near and said, 'Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you indeed sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked are treated alike. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly?' So the Lord said, 'If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare the whole place on their account.'" Notice what Abraham said. "Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked are treated alike. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly?" Abraham knew God well enough to know his nature. How did he get to know God so well? Abraham spent much time with the Lord. Remember all the altars that Abraham built to the Lord. Remember that Abraham was called the friend of God. Wow, what a beautiful title. Can God call us his friend? He was the friend of God and knew the nature of God. How well do we know God this morning? Many times you've heard in previous messages, how well do we know God? And, maybe it sounded redundant to you, but I give what the Lord gives me to say. A lot of the prayer goes, sincere prayer goes behind the messages and the worship. So you've heard many times, how well do we know God this morning? Do we know God well enough so that we know and understand his nature? Do we know the nature of God as well as Abraham did, or to write of his nature as King David did? What effort do we make to know the nature of God? The only way to know God as these people did, is to spend much time with him. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 reads, that I may know him, the words of Paul, the apostle, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Do you know, do I know the nature of God this morning? The disciple John leaned on Jesus' chest the night before the crucifixion. Guess what? He heard Jesus' heartbeat. Read in the Gospel of John. The night before the crucifixion, and Jesus was speaking, and John leaned on Jesus' chest. He heard Jesus' heartbeat. Those online, he heard Jesus' heartbeat. The beat of that great, great heart. I can't imagine that. Must have been awesome. The heart that pumped the blood that saved souls. The heart that pumped the blood that saved your soul and my soul. Have you heard God's heartbeat this morning? What might be in his heartbeat? Have you heard it? What might be in his heartbeat? I think the salvation of souls is in his heartbeat. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 reads, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The return of the backsliders must be in his heartbeat. Hosea chapter 14, verse 4, I will heal the backsliding. Jeremiah 3:14, turn, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married unto you. What is in God's heartbeat for you? Don't you want to know? Ask him to reveal it to you. This morning we want to know the nature of God. We want to hear and know and understand his heartbeat. We want to seek to have this knowledge and this closeness with the Lord. So I'm going to close with that. And if someone could pray to conclude the message, that would be greatly appreciated. It could be even a short prayer. Just conclude the message.